Rena Fleury was the kind of mom who almost never missed her son's football games. Emmanuel was the star running back for Woonsocket High School, and she loved cheering him on. One evening last August, Emmanuel's team was playing at Tucker Field in Cumberland. The game was to raise money for the Woonsocket Villanovans Injury Fund. Fleury was sitting next to her fiancé, Kevin White.
Emmanuel ran a touchdown at one point. It was like a 60-yard run. And she said, yeah, touchdown. And then I'm looking back on the field just to see what was going on with the penalty. Maybe 3, 4, 5 seconds. Well, I don't know. I looked to my right, and she's leaned over.
Fleury had collapsed.
I have my phone in my hand, but I'm just like in shock, and I'm like, somebody call 911, and there was...
Dr. Heather Ribasak-Smith and the town's EMS chief were driving back to the station's headquarters when one of the first 911 calls came over the police radio.
Initially, the 911 call was for person unresponsive with possible seizure activity. So to those of us who work EMS and respond in the field, that is essentially code to us for cardiac arrest.
Code for cardiac arrest because people sometimes mistake shaking at the onset of a cardiac arrest for a seizure. A cardiac arrest is caused by an electrical problem in the heart, but the bystanders didn't know what was happening.
There was people saying, oh my God, is she okay?
Jonathan DePault heard the commotion a few rows back. He's the father of another football player and a former volunteer firefighter and EMT. DePault helped White lift Fleury off the bench and lay her between the bleachers. DePault pulled off his sweatshirt and used it to cushion her head. He told Fleury's fiancé she might be having a seizure.
And I said, no. No, she's not having a seizure. She's not even moving.
DePault knelt next to Fleury and held her head, checking her neck for a pulse. An assistant athletic trainer rubbed her knuckles against Fleury's chest, trying to rouse her. Minutes passed.
As soon as we realized there was no pulse, we started CPR.
They took turns doing chest compressions. A police officer found an AED, a machine used to shock the heart back to a normal rhythm. No response. It took about 7 minutes from the first 911 calls for the firefighter EMTs to arrive. Dr. Ribasak-Smith reached Fleury just behind the first of two ambulance crews. She supervised as the EMTs took turns doing chest compressions. They gave Fleury medication, and they shocked her heart multiple times.
We were really trying everything to get her heart back into a normal rhythm.
But Fleury's heart never managed to beat on its own again. She was later pronounced dead at Landmark Medical Center. She was 45 years old.
She was so young, and she really had so many things going for her in that this was a witnessed arrest in the middle of a crowd. And so you just never know what might have been if somebody had started CPR right away.
If you think you've heard this story before, you're not entirely wrong. In March, we reported on the death of a six-month-old baby in Warwick after a Rhode Island 911 call taker failed to give CPR instructions to the family. In both cases, the 911 operators failed to identify the call as a cardiac arrest. And in both cases, 911 didn't instruct bystanders to perform CPR. The lack of CPR instructions from 911 call takers helps explain this newly released data from the State Department of Health. Fewer than one in four people, on average, who go into cardiac arrest outside of a hospital in Rhode Island receive CPR from a bystander. Dr. Nick Asselin is an emergency medicine physician on the faculty at Brown University's medical school.
The battle for this is really won and lost in the field. So if a patient is in cardiac arrest not receiving CPR, even the best pre-hospital care and the best hospital care won't affect a good outcome for them.
Rhode Island's low bystander CPR rate may very well be costing lives. Asselin's research shows that in Rhode Island, the odds of surviving a cardiac arrest outside of a hospital are roughly 1 in 13. That's worse than the national average of about 1 in 10.
What that signals to me is that Rhode Island has the opportunity to drastically improve survival from out-of-hospital cardiac arrest.
That's Dr. Michael Kurz, chair of the American Heart Association's Telephone CPR Task Force. He points to places like King County, Washington, home to Seattle, where nearly 70% of the people who go into cardiac arrest outside of a hospital receive CPR from a bystander. And King County's survival rate for out-of-hospital cardiac arrests is over 20%, double the national average and nearly three times the survival rate for Rhode Island. Kurz says the single most effective way to increase bystander CPR is by training 911 call takers to provide CPR instructions over the phone.
It is significantly less expensive than building fire stations or putting more ambulances on the street or, frankly, mass training citizens.
Jason Rhodes, the State Health Department's Chief of Emergency Medical Services, says Rhode Island can do better.
If we are able to double our bystander CPR rates from 1-4 to 2-4, from 25% to 50%, we think we'll be able to save at least 100 people more in this state.
That's more than 100 lives saved in Rhode Island each year. The Flurry case haunts Rybasak Smith, the medical director of Cumberland Emergency Services. A review of EMS dispatch logs and interviews with first responders showed that Flurry didn't receive CPR for the first few minutes after she collapsed, perhaps for up to 5 minutes. Every minute delay in performing CPR on people in cardiac arrest decreases their chance of survival by up to 10%, according to the American Heart Association. In March, without naming Flurry, Rybasak Smith testified about what happened before the State House Committee on Health, Education, and Welfare.
No less than four people called 911. Four people. But unfortunately, the system completely failed this woman. This cardiac arrest went completely unrecognized by the bystanders, by her family, and most importantly, by the 911 operator who took the call.
Since our first story aired in March, the Rhode Island State Police Superintendent has recommended emergency medical training for all 911 call takers and their supervisors. Colonel James Manny says the training will cost about $170,000. But the state budget is still under discussion, and it's unclear whether lawmakers will approve the money for the training before they adjourn for the summer. These days, Kevin White lives alone in a tidy rental apartment he shares with his two cats.
You want tender beef or seafood? Juice. Which one?
It's dinner time and the cats are hungry.
Rena was all about these cats.
White goes into his home office.
I have a little safe with her.
And unlocks a safe where he keeps photo albums with pictures of him and Flurry.
It's hard for me even to look at the pictures without getting, you know, really emotional. You know, I don't know, I'm just so hurt because I miss her so much because she was my everything.
White flips through an album with pictures from last July when they got engaged.
And this is when I proposed to her. She was so organized. See, everything was already booked.
Their wedding reception was supposed to be this Saturday. For the Publix Radio and the ProPublica Local Reporting Network, I'm Lynn Arditti.